Thank you all for a great discussion that is going on. And I wanted to point it out, some of those great brains that are here. I'm not sure if all recognize all of you that were talking. So we had Ravi Maduri from Ian Foster's lab, from Argonne National Lab. Ravi, if you'd show your... Those who didn't know Ravi has been... Ian Foster is one of the fathers of the grid, and Ravi has been representing Ian and Jonathan Silverstein here. And Wayne, of course, you just heard him talk. We've got Albert Lai working with Ohio State now. Columbia was supporting Columbia. And Justin?
Justin Kumar, yeah, the CEO of Ohio State University.
So, and Brian Lee, PH Grid architect. And we have Peter White here, who's worked extensively on the services that I shared earlier. So thank you all for being here, and it was just an amazing, awesome discussion here. And it's a perfect segue to my presentation, the next one here. And I know, again, it's late in the afternoon, everybody's sleepy, and I hope I can keep you interested. So if you liked the discussion that was going on, this is going to be a lighter weight, but the same sort of theme. And this is about the global public health grid. And what I heard talking, what I heard from the last piece of the discussion sort of leads to this, because what you said, Wayne, was about a suite of services, and what I heard was suite of tools, and which is one of our one of the WHO sponsored projects, which I will talk about, and that's the goal of the global public health grid is to support that. So this is a WHO CDC initiative which started about we started thinking about it about a year and a half or more, but then it started gelling earlier this year. And I presented this idea at the Health Grid Conference in Berlin, and then we're here presenting this. Following up from this, we have a meeting, strategic planning meeting, tomorrow afternoon, and then after that, we will be, we'll have another meeting soon with a larger group compared to the one that we're meeting tomorrow. So I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors. Some of them may be here, some not. So the goal of this is to improve population health, and we're talking about global population, not just the U.S. population, not just my health, your health, everybody's population health, by facilitating timely and reliable global public health information exchange. So just a reflection on the discussion that has been going on in the sessions that we've been, in this session, the presentations, I talked about the U.S. perspective only. It was just the U.S. public health grid, and we were down to the county epidemiologist level. And we went down the a day in the life of the county epidemiologist. Then Wayne gave more in-depth, closer to deep technology insight. And this is now taking you about 30,000 feet up and giving you the global public health perspective. And I hope everybody can really fit all the pieces that we've talked about earlier nicely into this. So the objectives, we had mainly two objectives: advancing global public health through information exchange and collaborative tools and service development and sharing. And as I will share later, the way we, as I've come to understand, there are mainly two buckets that I place all the challenges and all our approaches in. One is the information exchange, and the other one is tools and service development and sharing. And as I go on, I'll explain a little bit more of these. So what is GRID? I think I can whiz past this one because everybody's familiar with this. Basically, just to reiterate for those who are not really, not very familiar with the description and the actual classical definition, it is a controlled and coordinated resource sharing and problem solving in dynamic, scalable virtual organization. I wanted to just point out that it ties so well with the global public health scenario because we have a dynamic population. We've got people joining the WHO. Well, the countries joining WHO. It is not a static. We've had 193 and then 95, I think, now. And then it is dynamic in terms of emerging infections. We are all dealing with H1N1 now. And we are talking about virtual organizations. So when we talk about a global world, it is a virtual organization. It's not one. Well, we are all in the world, but that's a virtual organization, so it really ties in very well. And the sharing of direct access through policies to all the resources, which can be computers, which can be software, data, and other resources. And what is global health for those people who are not so familiar with the global health domain? A classical definition recently printed by Jeff Copeland, who's the former CDC director. The global health is an area for study, research, and practice that places a priority on improving health and achieving equity in health for all people worldwide. It emphasizes transnational health issues, determinants, and solutions, involves many disciplines within and beyond the health sciences, and promotes interdisciplinary collaboration, and is a synthesis of population-based prevention with individual-level clinical care. Long definition, but the take-home message is our world is getting even more complex. Our meaning, the people who are trying to solve these different problems, if you go to the global level, it's even getting more complex. Earlier, we were just talking about public health, U.S. public health, and all the issues, and whether two people just sitting next to each other are willing to share the data or not. But now it's like it's countries, and it's so many different, there's so many flavors of politics, some things that you and I cannot even imagine, but somebody from a different culture can totally take it completely in a different way. What I say, he can totally take it another way. So it involves many, many disciplines within and beyond the health sciences, and that's again key, and it promotes interdisciplinary collaboration. One thing I want to point out that I realized when I was presenting this, an earlier version of this presentation in Berlin, when we talked about public health, and this I especially want to point out to those people who were not based in U.S., when I was talking about public health, most people over there were European-based, and what they understood was public health versus private health. Do you know what I'm talking about? So when I said public health, and I realized that just before I went up to the podium and I Googled a definition of public health, and I read that out just before I started this presentation, but still, at the end, the questions that I was faced with, they were still talking about public versus private health. So this is something for those people who are in this domain, we do need to be very careful, because again, this is, it's so many disciplines, and when we're talking about the global especially, we need to be cognizant of these different perspectives. What we mean by public health may not be the same to the others. So this is not the public versus private. This is population, basically, population health. And some of the drivers for this initiative, the Global Public Health Grid Initiative, are the UN Millennium Development Goals. And for those who are not familiar with these earlier, I think it was September 2000, when the UN, with consensus from the member countries, they put together a list of 8 goals, which they said Millennium Development Goals. And you can see the ones in red are those which directly relate to health. But those were UN goals, United Nations goals, not WHO goals. But you can see how many out of 8, 5 of those directly relate to health. And the others also indirectly, one way or the other, they are related to health. So on the global public health scenario, what are our needs? We have multiple sources. Our data could be coming from community surveys, could be doing population surveys, lab results. We could have district or hospital level registries in many, many places. They still have stacks of papers. They still have files. And there's no way to dig through those files, but we're trying to improve their life a little bit also. So multiple sources. And we have data coming from multiple sectors, health, education, water, environment, and many others that I have not listed here. And then multiple levels. You could be collecting data from remotely from field level. You could be collecting from the country or at the regional level, at the global level. And as you can see, depending on the level and depending on where you are, which part of the world you are in, the resources are different. So at the remote field level, he's just holding a paper in his hand. And at the country level, you've got a laptop, and regional level and global level, you have better infrastructure. So for all these data coming from these multiple sources, sectors, and levels, we need tools and platforms to integrate these data. And challenges, coming back to the two objectives, as I said earlier, the way I see it, as I've learned to see, is that there are mainly two buckets. One is the data silos, and the other is the application silos. And this is right now, as of now, there's so many applications that have already been developed, and they have been collecting data, and those data are just in silos, and you can't extract those data and put them in Excel sheets and then transport them into something else, but they're not easily transportable, and some are not. Their data dictionary was not the same. The vocabulary is not the same. So we do have data silos, and that is right now. So what we have to, what we're facing is widely distributed and great growing volume of the data, and a lot of places still, they're trying to address this data silo or the disparate data sources by the centralized data warehouse model, and they think collecting data in the center is the way to go. But the point is that currently WHO collects the data, but the way it happens, if there is a WHO center here, and for example, there is a nutrition center based in Emory, and I was involved with the project for a while, so they send the data to WHO every 6 months. They collect the data on their end first from a number of constituents. So just imagine the time it takes for one center to collect data from the rest of the world, make sense of that data, because you don't have data vocabularies, you don't have a common vocabulary, you don't have data dictionary, make sense of that data, compile it, and send it on to WHO, and then WHO to get data from other centers, and then try to compare and run their reports. Just imagine how long it takes. It takes about a year or more. That's the minimum I can think, and we have WHO colleagues here who can comment on that later, but I think the minimum can be a year by the time they get the reports together by 2006 mid, you'd get the reports for 2004 probably. So, what we are trying to address is, as I said, timely and reliable information exchange. If we get that data faster, we are more likely to put together solutions that can be applied faster. And have better solutions, become better solutions. So because of the data silos, we have, another challenge is difficulty in maintaining central data warehouses. And you know, one data warehouse, if a hacker hacks into that, all your data is gone. And whoever is maintaining that central is responsible for that. Whereas in the other grid model, if you let people keep their data, they're responsible for what happens there. If a leak is there, they're responsible, not for the center. And the challenges are cultural, social, and political impediments. We've already seen that, exchanging data across two people. So in the end result is that we have local country-level data silos with limited accessibility and visualization. The other bucket, as I told you, was the information technology systems and tools silos, even though those two are related, because the data is coming out of those tools. But as of now, if we look at the challenges, we have the data silos, and we have to deal with those. Even if we do develop interoperable systems at some point, we still have to deal with those data that are still currently in those data silos. So the systems and tool silos, why we have those? Because people got these grants, and I got this money for HIV. Okay, let me go and build another new system. So there is lack of coordination, and there's redundancy. A lot of people are building the same things, had been building, but it's getting much better now because we're sharing what we're doing. So if I need something, you're already working on it, why should I waste my money? And if you're making it open source, let me use yours. Duplication of efforts and resources, lack of interoperability and harmonization, issues of maintenance and sustainability are another thing with this. So why Grid for Global Public Health? We've identified that on your left is a list of, is it working? There it is, I had my finger on it. So what do we need in global informatics? What are our requirements? It should be, solution should be controlled, comprehensive, connected, convenient, cost. It should be compliant with whatever we need to comply with, and should be credible. And what Grid offers is, it provides, in terms of control, it provides secure, role-based, locally controlled access. It's comprehensive, it supports a variety, theoretically it does, and at some places they have proved to support a variety of data sources. Connected systems, interoperable with one another, and simplified and customizable interface. And again, some of the Grid middleware are still pretty high level. It's difficult for people like me with no technology background to work with those. But at some places, like in Europe, as they demonstrated in the Health Grid Conference in Berlin, it was so simple, like what Ravi was explaining, using a tool similar to Taverna. They just showed an interface which was very similar to my Windows Explorer. And just like I have folders on this one side, they had services on one side, and they were just dragging and dropping, and they did a demo over there. They dragged and dropped, and then they just created a workflow off, on the fly, and boom, you hit a button and you're done. So people like me who don't have a Java experience and who don't have a background, it's simple. And it is convenient to use. And it is cost-effective in the long run. It helps us comply with policy and technical standards. But again, as I've mentioned earlier, the technology is there. But we need to make sure that the policies, we take care of the policies and other issues before we go further into the technology side. Credible, it should be built, and it is, the grid infrastructure is built on experience and best practices. So this is an envisioned architecture of the global public health grid. As you can see, it is a little, it is quite similar to the PH grid, since we had that as a model. We followed that one on. We have a number of, we've showed a number of services. There may be some which are missing, but this is just to show that these are, coming back to what you had mentioned earlier, these, we cannot have everything there, but at least to have at least one of each type and sort of provide a toolkit for an epidemiologist who needs it at the basic level, and they can either use them on the grid or download them and use them on their own local area network, and whenever they're ready to share, they can just upload that connect, and then use the other service, run their analysis on their data, and just move on. So we have some players in this. It could be health ministries on the grid. We could have organizations like CDC, WHO, and others. We could have consumers there. We could have health providers there. And this one is subject to discussion. This is just to give an idea of overall broad architecture. But we're having a meeting tomorrow with some core partners, and we're going to be putting together, that's one of the Mary's job to work on this architecture tomorrow, and see if we need to add some people. Somebody pointed out that instead of the others, or maybe here, we can have the institutes, like academic institutes, which are not currently here. So it's definitely, if you think of something that needs to be here, let me know, please, and we can definitely work on it in tomorrow's meeting, and we'll share with the others later. So this, I'm going to show just an envisioned scenario for global public health grid. And those who were in Vincent Breton's presentation yesterday afternoon, you may have seen a static picture of this, of a similar thing, since we're talking about the same thing. So the idea, and it's similar to what I'd said earlier, that you've got a stack of services, just like your Windows Explorer. It's supposed to be as simple as that. You've got your stack of services there, and you've got an epidemiologist coming in and defining a query. That epidemiologist, he or she, needs data from mortality data, needs some other data, can pull in from different sources and run some analytical services, some more, and get some reports and visualize it in whatever way that person wants to. And all that you see, these graphs and things, all these can be going on in the background, and that person need not want to. If I'm there, I don't want to see what's the intermediary layers. I just want to see my final graphs, and that's what I will see. But that should be easy for the user to define if they want to go in and see at each step the results. They should be able to see the steps, but if not, it should be so that they need not be bothered by that. Moving on, so the initial phase, we right now are in the initial phase. We've developed some core partnerships with WHO and CDC are the co-sponsors of this. We're collaborating, and we have core partnerships with CABIG, with the Health Grid folks, and also with, who am I missing? Say now, you have a choice, now or never. I might come back to that. So in the initial phase, we have decided to make our life a little easier. We're focusing on two WHO use cases. And as you will realize that these two WHO use cases sort of are overarching for pretty much everything that we're doing. These whatever work you're doing, like whatever you shared, Wayne, can fit into one of these use cases, even though these are overarching. But I'm sure everybody can relate to at least one piece of these. So there are two use cases. One is the Global Health Observatory and the Open Health suite of interoperable tools. And I think it was Monday when Knut Staring from WHO, he presented the Open Health suite of interoperable tools. And we have Kathy O'Neill here as well. Any questions for this one? I'll happily deflect over. The Global Health Observatory, as I understand, and please correct me, Knut and Kathy, as I understand, is, and to make it easier for others to understand, you all know the WHO's role, one of the functions is to get data from different countries and compare it, put some results together, and put some recommendations together. Very simplistic explanation, I'm sorry. But that data is just dispersed all over, and that data is being sent to WHO in various ways. Some may be Excel sheets, or you may have some access databases also. I believe there are some who are already web services that you can query, but the others that you're just getting through Excel sheets. So as of now, as I understand, that the Global Health Observatory draws on those data sources, and it's for some of the data, they do have some kind of repository because they don't have any other way. For the Excel sheets that they receive, they have to have that. So we are trying to, this Global Public Health Grid is aims to support this Global Health Observatory and sort of put together the solution that can enable the aims of the Global Health Observatory. And the other one is the Open Health suite of interoperable tools, and this ties in with what Wayne was saying and what you all were pitching in the discussion for, was that we need a number of different services, and we are never going to be able to put everything on the grid, but let's put together a toolkit with those basic services and let that be available. So Grid, we recommend to be one of the solutions, one of the infrastructure for the Open Health suite of tools, but it could be others also, because there are people who don't have high-speed bandwidth access, high-speed internet access. So for those services, those tools, once we have those interoperable tools available, or we have identified those should be available on a jump drive or on a lightweight, low-cost laptop, and they should be able to take it and deploy them on their own local area network. But as long as they are part of the same toolkit, whenever they are ready to share that data with another system or with any other user, they should be able to rely on the interoperability of those services, of those tools. Whether they use it as services or they use them as tools is a different thing. So where are we going from now on? We have identified that we have basically two tracks. The first one is to build the roadmap, and that's the part of the exercise that we will be doing tomorrow afternoon in a small group. We're going to be working on the scope and objectives, and as I mentioned earlier, this we've started documenting, and this whole initiative has started gelling over the last 3-4 months. And at this point, we have developed a core partnership, but we had not had a chance to sit together and talk about these visions and objectives and scope. We've been talking on emails, phones, and at conference calls, but this is the time when we're coming together tomorrow to work on these and really put those together, document those. What is our vision? What is the scope? What are our objectives? How are we going to analyze and assess what policies and governance are already there? What do we have to work on? Partnerships and roles, what do we already have, what more, what are the criteria to get more partners, how are we going to communicate and collaborate, and how are we planning for expansion to the Global Public Health Grid. And in terms of communication and collaboration, we do have a collaboration site, which is for now a little limited to just the core members, but I would welcome anybody who is interested in becoming part of that. Please give me your business cards before you leave, and once we are done with tomorrow's discussion and working meeting, and we have something better to document and share with a larger community once we've reached consensus among the group, then we will definitely include you, and that should not be too long. from now. So please do leave your cards with me, and you'll definitely hear from me in the near future. Track two is the implementation. So one of the use cases that I have listed here is the WHO implementation. For that, what we need to figure out is, the first thing is we have to establish some nodes somewhere. Where do we establish those? We have to select and grid enable the WHO internal data sets, and we decided to go with the WHO implementation to start with because those mainly are internal data sets. We have comparatively less policy issues as challenges in this particular use case, comparatively less, because they WHO owns those, or owns in the sense that countries, that's my understanding, that countries are willing to share those particular data sets. But then going beyond that, when we expand this use case, then we will definitely be facing more policy channels challenges, and we have to be ready for them. And grid-enabled software tools, so this ties in with the suite of interoperable tools. We need to first identify what tools we need to grid-enable and then grid-enable them. The result, we hope, will be pretty soon a federated data and tools sharing system, and we need to test and monitor, identify and add new data and tool sources as required. Why do we think it's going to work now at this time is because of the opportunities. A number of global health and e-health initiatives are going on. There's an increasing adoption of standards around, and you all pretty much are aware of all those things. And we have the enabling technologies available now more than they were ever before. And we've a bunch of experience already and expertise from the grid computing side. We have to be aware of the risk, and in terms of risk management, we need to make sure that we have well-defined scale and scope, and we manage the scale. The number of stakeholders, and there's definitely a diverse set of stakeholders involved, their relationships. The relationship between country A and B may be at a totally different level compared to the relationship between country A and E. So what country A is willing to share with country B, they may not be willing to share with E. For example, the United States may not want to share with Cuba. Challenges already, I'm sorry for any Cubans around, I know that we may have some. Challenges already inherent in gathering and sharing information. We need to be cognizant of that. Complexities of policy and legal systems, those complexities exist. We have to be aware of those, and we should be ready to face those and not just close our eyes and say, we'll deal with those when the house is on fire. Concepts and related technologies, we need to be spectrum of awareness needs to be increased, capacity and commitment. So we have to continually keep on working on those. And at this point, I've been getting questions from a lot of people about, so where is this global public health grid at this point? Are you operational? As I understand, since I've been coordinating and leading this initiative since the time that it really started gelling, as I understand, this initiative, a lot of our responsibilities are listed here and in the track one. And as you can see, this barely has any technology. The technology part, the rest of the world, you all are doing that. What we're doing, and that's what I understand is that's how we provide value, that we provide that overall business case, the global public health use case, and in an easy way so that you all can relate to and you all can figure out how your projects relate to that. And you deal with all the technology thing. We'll definitely be bringing you together and putting together some high-level implementation guides, but we ourselves are not going to, at least it's not as far as my understanding goes right now. So when people ask me, is it operational? Yes, it is operational, because that is part of what we're supposed to do, put together the collaboration, bring people together, educate people about it, and make sure that we manage the risk well, and let you all take care of the technology, and then bring you all when we need the technology input. But overall, will we be, the global public health grid, be developing software? I don't see that in the near future. At some point, maybe, but not right now. So in summary, our goal is to improve global health by creating a global partnership, advancing global public health information exchange, and collaboratively developing and sharing tools and best practices. a lot of acknowledgments, and thank you all for being here today. And please do drop your business cards here if I don't already know you. And we have the WTO team here since it's a global use case. So please ask questions.
We have a couple of minutes more if you have any questions.
I have one question. It's an obvious question. We are now dealing with two different scenarios. In one scenario, when we do the research of anything, we can actually mask the individual identity and then share, use the data for any kind of analysis. Is there any policy there? How the data can be pushed across the boundary line, like the state boundary line or country boundary line. So this is one scenario. Another scenario is a very good example, is the H1N1, when the people are actually moving from one country to another country, then the person has to be identified. So in that case, how do you share the information? How the information is actually flowing from one place to another place? Is there a particular guideline already established and I can see in the way?
As far as I understand, I don't think anything concrete exists at this point in the terms that you're referring to. But this is definitely a use case that we will be talking about, and this is part of the tasks that we have to start documenting these different policies and these issues. In terms of policies, like I said, country A has a relationship with B. But if there are, WHO has 195 countries, country members right now, but there are some more countries in the world. I'm not sure exactly how many countries are in the world. But in terms of relationships between countries, it's one-on-one. And we have to do is learn. We really, I don't think we're in a position to dictate anything. We have to learn how they exist now. And we definitely are going to start working on this. As far as I know, I don't think it exists as such. Kathy or Knut, do you want to comment on that? So the question was, go ahead. Very aggregate level data. So, at your level, sorry?
Every state's different.
Every state is different, but when I started the Aegis system, I don't know if you're aware of that, it's an automated epidemiological geotemporal integrated, I forgot the last thing. So it's based out of Harvard. It's a distributed system where it is deployed in the ER, different hospitals, and they collect, part of it is electronic right now, the electronic in the sense of it's distributed and it's queried. The data sets stay there where they are and they're queried. And the other part is, it is electronic, but it is secured file transfer. So, okay. So the way they're dealing with this, if I understand your question correctly, is that they have different tiers of access. So at level one, when they've automated systems going on, and when they automatically they query these different emergency rooms, and they their reports show a spike, then an alert goes to their epidemiologist, and that epidemiologist then can see, well, so that epidemiologist supplies the first level password All of us cannot go and see anything. That epidemiologist applies a first-level password, and he can see which ER that data is coming from, or to a certain level, he can see that detail of the data. And then if they need to go further down, they have to supply a second-level password to go drill further down to see what, other than just the aggregate-level data, they can see more detail like the age of the person, probably the zip code, and some other identifiers. And then if they want to actually go and identify the patients, because what you're talking about is a use case where the epidemiologists are most likely either county epidemiologists who actually have to go in and talk to and contact that patient because they may need to institute some kind of intervention, isolation, or other things so that, or contact tracing or others for those that they need to contact the patient directly. So in that terms, they do need to know exactly who the patient is, where that person lives, and probably the email or phone number so that they can actually contact that person. So it's three-layered. So you have to provide another password to access the further detailed information. So that's what they have over there. However, every time I've talked about this thing at CDC, people are not really interested. And the same thing, Knut reflected the same feelings, that WHO is really not interested in this use case because they are not going to need that level of detail because they're not in, their function is not to go down to that level and do any intervention. But at the level of the state and county, I think even at the states, they may not have to actually go. It's at the level of county and city. So their mechanisms do exist, and I don't see any reason why it cannot be used in on the grid as a grid service, different levels of security access. Does that answer the question?
A little bit.
Last question?
Okay, yeah. Yeah, to Mensa.
For each one, the targeting patient. to advise the clinic to install Tamiflu for those equipment, and what, how to install and how to treat the clinic's length. And we don't want to, because the clinic here have a treaty to do. So we plan a big match for that sector. How about the huge business who are also doing stuff? Because public has been voluntary in the mission. Then you can be a clash somewhere that you conflict with businesses' plans. Continuity.
Okay.
I really didn't understand the question well because it was hard to hear. I'll be staying here, but we'll have to let the others go. And I'll be here for the discussion. Anybody who wants to stay or is welcome to stay, but those who need to leave can leave. But I'm here.
So I want to thank.
Oh, you have it here, okay. So we need to go. Okay.
Okay. I want to thank our presenters for their great presentations, and thank you all for your attendance.